Lord, we want to give you thanks for the good things you are doing, Lord, here in our midst, Lord, in our hearts, our lives, our families, our communities, our nation. Lord, we believe that when we call upon your name, there is healing, there is deliverance. And we believe, Lord, you are moving among us and you're moving in this nation today. And God, we want to see the Northwest on fire for Jesus Christ. We want to see, Lord, people coming to know you, Jesus. We want to see salvation and healing and deliverance and all the things you do, Lord. We are open to you, Lord, and ask you to direct us by your Holy Spirit today. Lord, that you would lead each one of us into your perfect will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad you came this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Well, I am. Hallelujah. It's good to be here, you know.
Amen.
Hey, Sook told me I had to be here, so I'm... We get to be here.
Amen.
We get to be together. We get to worship the Lord together. And we are blessed to live in this nation. And you know what? America needs an awakening. Amen. And I believe it's the movement of God has already begun. The move of God has begun. We're going to continue to pray into that. Amen. That there's going to be an increase. Amen. To where people are going to be so taken by the Spirit of God that they're going to fall on their face before the Lord. Amen. And people are just going to fall under the power. Nobody laying hands on them. They're just going to fall under the power of God. People are going to begin to cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of the Lord brings that deep contrition, that conviction, amen, and that realization that without him there is no hope, there is no life, amen. There's no point to life without him, because Jesus is the point of life, amen. It's all about you, Lord, amen. He's moving among us, and he wants to do a miracle in your life, but you got to open your heart and let him in. Allow him. Trust him. Trust him with the most vulnerable part of you, and that's your heart. Amen? If you call on the Lord for grace, amen, you're not going to get a demon. So don't let the devil talk you out of, amen, you're giving God your best praise. How many know that he inhabits? He's enthroned, right, in the praises of Israel. But he inhabits our praises. Amen? So you like heaven? How many are looking forward to going to heaven?
Amen.
Amen. How many know you can have heaven in your heart?
Yes, it's here right now.
Amen. Heaven is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is heaven. Amen. There's liberty, but that's where there's no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. Yeah. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many would be honest to say, you know, I'm feeling better than I was maybe an hour ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Hallelujah. And it's because of the presence of the Lord. Amen. And you know, the Lord wants to have access to every part of us. He wants us to trust him with all of us. Amen. And not keep him out of certain places in our hearts and our lives. Amen. How many know the biggest favor you can do yourself is to let Jesus have it all?
Amen.
Surrender. That's where you're going to find your freedom and your life in him. In the surrender of your soul to him. Amen. Well, I know there's some testimonies this morning. Amen. By the way, we have evening service at 6. And on Wednesdays, we also have a 6 o'clock. And we often have a good time of sharing of testimonies of what God is doing. You know, how many know that God is healing people and setting people free? Amen?
Yeah.
And we thank God for that. And we're praying, amen, for even an increase. Amen?
Yes.
How many say, I would like the more?
Yes.
Amen? Hallelujah. I've never heard of anybody having too much Holy Spirit. I've heard of people not having enough oil. Amen? But you know what? We can drink as much as we want, eat as much as we want. We can have as much of Jesus as we want. Amen? Some people just like a snack, that's it, you know. Other people like the whole smorgasbord, you know. I just, Lord, whatever you have, that's what I want.
Amen.
Whatever you're feeding, I'm eating, amen?
Amen?
Whatever you're serving, I'm drinking. Amen? If he's serving wine, drink. Amen? And rejoice in the Lord.
Yes.
How many know he can make you happy?
Oh, yes.
He can make you glad. Amen? Hallelujah. He's the living word. Hallelujah. He is a life-giving spirit. So we don't need the inferior stuff of the world. Hallelujah. Title of the message this morning is kind of along the same theme we've been on for a little while. But I want to just kind of develop it a little bit more and add to it. So, title of the message is The Requirement for God's Power. The requirement for God's power. Talking about the kingdom, what is the kingdom of God? It is the government of God. Amen? That means God has a structure to everything he does. Amen? How many know that heaven is totally organized? Amen? There's no dysfunction at all. Amen? Earthly governments can be dysfunctional. Amen? But not in heaven. Amen? And so in his kingdom, there is order. There's a way. And what is the power of God? Well, it's the divine ability of God. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, amen, on earth as in heaven, we want heaven to come to earth. Amen. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, the manifest presence of the Lord. And that's what we hunger for, is the presence of the Lord. You know, we should be asking God, amen, to fill us with his power. But really what we need is his presence. We need him. Amen. If you have Jesus, then you have all that you have need of, because it all flows out of him. Amen. So we're not asking God for things of God. We're asking for him. We're seeking him. Not just his hand. We're seeking his face. We want to know the Lord. So there's got to be order in any government in order to maintain the purpose of that government. And wherever there's an absence of God, there's chaos. Amen? In our own lives. If there's an absence of God in our lives, that's where it's going to be chaotic. God wants to fill every part of us. Fill up every void. Amen? Remember in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Or it was a desolate place. Amen? And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. The sound of his voice, and then the creative miracle of this beautiful thing we call light. How many like the light?
Amen.
Especially in Washington, amen? When the sun comes out, we're like, yes. Yes. But the word of the Lord brought perfect order to the disorder. And so he sends his word to us, amen, and he brings order to our disorder. He sends his word to us, amen, and brings healing to our sickness, our disease. He drives it out, amen? Moses was instructed by the Lord specifically how to build the tabernacle of God in the wilderness. And that's, you can find that in Exodus 25 through 30. And there was a specific order in everything he did, because the tabernacle was really to be a model of heaven itself. It was a model of heaven itself. It was a pattern of the heavenly. Okay. And it also gives us a picture of Christ and his atoning work. Amen. The blood, the sacrifice, the laver, it all has its place. Amen. So God is a God of order, and wherever God is not, there is disorder. Now we know that Jesus has been given how much authority? All authority, right? In heaven and on earth. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all exousia, Greek word exousia, authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Where is Jesus now? He's seated where? Right? In the highest place, right? In heaven. He's the one who delegates authority to us, his people, his church, so that we can represent him on the earth. So if we are willing, this is the key. This is the key. If we are willing to submit to the Lord's authority, then we can move in His authority. If you're willing to submit to His authority, then you can move in His authority. Because those who have authority are those who are under authority. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive dunamis, dynamic working power, right? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So, God wants His people operating in His power or in His ability, under His authority and for His glory. Amen? God wants us operating in His ability, under His authority, and for whose glory? His glory. We've got to keep things in right perspective here. It's not about us. It's not about making a name for ourselves. Amen? We want to make Jesus famous. The Holy Spirit always points to who? Amen. He always exalts the Lord. Amen? So sadly, many of God's people are not aware of the power of God. Or they have been taught it's not available for them today. How sad that is. Many of God's people are demonically oppressed because either they are not aware of God's power or because they don't believe God can set them free. Lack of faith. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but what? Also in power." So it didn't come in word only. So the true gospel is accompanied by the power of God. It's not just a word, amen? But God is in His word. When we speak the word that God speaks, amen, it carries power, authority, amen? It never returns void, that's right. And so, sometimes people, they don't even believe God can set them free. Sometimes people have gotten so used to being bound up by the enemy that they've just accepted it. They've given into it. And so the enemy continues to have his way in their life. Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. Amen? We know the enemy came to rob, to kill, and to destroy. So, the gospel is a gospel of power, amen? And there's an enforcement that comes when we're under God's authority. We cannot enforce God's victory on the earth unless we're under His authority, amen? And we cannot legitimately exercise power except that we're under the authority of God. So the gospel and the power of God are tied together. It's not a gospel rooted in human intellect or charisma. It's not a self-serving gospel. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is a transformational gospel. It's a gospel of power. The gospel has evidence. It has substance. Amen? Transformational power. God sends His word. Amen? And it affects change. Paul said, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom," which he could have done very easily. And that's what he was used to in his old life as a Pharisee. But he said, "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." There is a requirement for the power of God in our lives. Come on. "That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men," cleverness even, "but in the what? Power of God." So, as a Pentecostal church, our standard of life and conduct is the Word of God. Amen? And our model is the early church. What did they do then? How many know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He hasn't changed. Amen. We're still in that dispensation of grace, the church age. Amen. Where God is pouring out His Spirit. And He's looking for someone who will partner with Him in His mission to represent Him. Amen. Because God wants to go us to go about and destroying the works of the devil, just like Jesus did. But sadly, in many cases, the expectation of God's supernatural power has been abandoned by many Christians. There's no expectation. Jesus come, well, it's just going to be another day, another service, another what? Are you hearing me? But expectation is a breeding ground for miracles. That's where miracles happen, where we come with an expectancy. Hallelujah, we're going to believe. Because Jesus said all things are possible. Not just some things, but all things are possible to them that believe. And how many know that most denominations began with a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit? Whether it was, you know, Calvinism or what was that, Wesleyism, and there was the United Methodists and the Lutherans and, you know, the Anabaptists back in the day. Are you hearing me? There's so many denominations, right? But they all began, most of them began in a move of the Spirit. But then many of them, if you look at them today, they're only a shell of their former self. There's no substance, there's no power, there's no expectation. Nothing's happening. They're just kind of going through the motions anymore. So what happens is, little by little, people begin replacing the power of God with hype, charismatic personalities, Christian entertainment. Right? So yeah, skinny jeans and fog machines. And how about self-centered messages that tickle the ears? Much of what we see in the church today is nothing more than intellectualism and emotionalism. Hype. That is void of the power of God. But yet, the power of God is a requirement. Amen? For us, in order to accomplish the will of God. You can't do this without God, amen, and His power. We can't be who we're called to be without Him and His presence, amen. And with His presence also comes that power, amen. If we would yield and submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, God will do works through each one of us. But He's just looking for somebody who's willing to humble themselves, to submit themselves, and be a willing vessel for God to speak through, to reach through, to heal through, come on, to bring deliverance through. It's not of us, it's of God, but He's looking for someone who will be available for Him if He calls on you to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." The true gospel of Christ is a Christ-centered gospel. Amen? And it's confirmed by the power of God. Hebrews 2:3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" Hebrews 2:4, "God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders." What was He doing? Bearing witness with what? "Signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will." So Bible knowledge without the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit leads to lifeless legalism. Bible knowledge without the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit leads to lifeless legalism. You can have a well-formed message. Everything can be theologically correct. Come on. But if it's void of the Spirit of God, because you're not in harmony with the Spirit of God and you're not yielded to the Spirit of God, it's just going to be a dead letter. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We see that with the scribes and Pharisees. They knew the word, didn't they? Matthew 23:27, "Jesus said to them, 'Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inward are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness.'" He was using a tomb as an example. And even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Jesus said in John 5:39, he says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which," what? "Testify of me." The word of God, amen. The scriptures point us to the living word of God, Jesus Christ. John 6:63, "It is the spirit who gives life," Jesus said. "The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Why? Because Jesus spoke with authority, because he was under the Father's authority as Son of God, but also as Son of Man. Amen? He didn't do his own thing. He wasn't going about with his own agenda. He had submitted everything to the Father's will, for the Father's will to be accomplished through him. God wants us to do likewise. Those who are legalistic generally criticize and persecute those who operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. Those who are legalistic generally criticize and persecute those who operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's entire YouTubes and plenty of stuff out there that does nothing but criticize any kind of movement of the Spirit of God. And they're constantly attacking the minister and trying to find fault with this and that. Their whole job is to undermine anything that has anything to do with the power of God. Because some people are taught that there is no power available today. What kind of gospel is that? A gospel void of power. An impotent, worthless gospel. Amen. Our gospel is the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a gospel of power. And God will confirm his word. Amen. If we are under his authority and we speak according to his will. Amen. God will send his word and it will perform miracles. It will set captives free. It will open blind eyes and deaf ears. His word will not return void. Galatians 4:22, "For it is written that Abraham had" how many sons? Two sons. "The one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman." One son by bondwoman, one son by what? Free woman. "But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise." Of course, that was what? Isaac, right? Isaac and Ishmael he's talking about. I mean, I know that Isaac was a miracle baby. They were 100 years and 99, right? Having a baby. And there's like, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. We have a son. It was a supernatural conception. Do you get that? Born after the Spirit. It was a type and shadow here of the flesh, amen, and the Spirit. Those who are of the flesh always persecute those who are in the Spirit. And that's what exactly happened. It's still going on today. Galatians 4:28, "But now we, brethren, as Isaac was," this is talking about a born-again believer, amen, "are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit," that's Isaac, "even so it is now." Ishmael mocked Isaac. And it has always been true that those operating in the flesh have criticized and persecuted those operating in the Holy Spirit. And this even goes on in the church. But listen, without the power of God, our labor is in vain. We can't do anything without him. A lot of people are doing Christian works and Christian things, amen, without the Lord. They're just doing their own thing. Playing church, we call it. I don't want to play church. Many churches today are built by human charisma and talent and not by the Lord. Man is able to, you know, be creative and attract crowds. But if the Lord ain't building it, it's not going to stand. Jesus said, "I will build" what? "My church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The councils of hell will not be able to overcome what Jesus establishes. And that means us as well. So powerlessness in the church has led many to turn to the occult for answers. Somebody say amen. But only God can truly satisfy us. People are trying to fill up a void in their life. They have a realization that I need help. I need strength. I need power. Because they're in a world where we feel so vulnerable. Are you hearing me, somebody? But 2 Peter 1:3 says, as his divine dunamis, his power, power of God, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I love this verse. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Powerless in the church has led many to seek out mind science as a solution to all their problems. Come on, somebody. Often people are treating spiritual problems with psychiatry and psychology. They're looking for soulish solutions to deeper spiritual problems. Yeah. You see, if you have a powerless gospel and you don't believe in the power of God and you don't believe in the ability of God, amen, to basically do anything, there's nothing that he cannot do. Amen. And often, and I'm not saying everything is spiritual, but so often it is a spiritual problem. If you deal with the root, amen, the fruit will change. But all they're doing is putting Band-Aids on people. They may be able to bring up something from their past and have them rehash it over and over again and say, and they were looking at it, but what do you do about it? Well, there's not much you can do about it. That's why it's a big business. Amen. And people keep coming back week after week for year after year after year for more counseling, but they never seem to get well. Why? Because they need the power of God to set them free. I believe that God can heal the brokenhearted. Amen. And he can heal the broken-minded. People need to believe. Submit themselves to the Holy Spirit. Submit themselves to ministry. Amen. Look at God's people lay hands. Amen. We believe that God can make you every bit well. It doesn't matter what it is. So often we are just limiting God by our own unbelief. I believe, and there are demons actually of insanity that cause insanity. And they can only be driven out by the power of God.
Amen.
So what is the purpose of God's power? Well, first of all, it's to bear witness to the message of the gospel, to confirm the word of God. Amen. It's to bear witness to the resurrection of the Lord, that Jesus is alive forevermore. Amen. And he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he has delegated that authority to his people to carry on. Amen. The work that he began until he comes. The power of God is to bear witness to the resurrection and to change our character. Amen. And transform us into the image of Christ. The power of God will empower your prayer life. So you go from an intellectual prayer to a prayer that is, right, birthed in the Spirit. From the heart of God. From the heart of the Holy Spirit in you. Hallelujah. God will empower your prayer life. The power of God will enable us to fulfill our calling. The power of God will give us power over temptation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The power of God will empower us to enforce the victory of Christ in our life. And give us that power to drive out demons in Jesus' name. So without the power of God, we cannot be effective witnesses for Jesus in this world. A witness is someone who is capable of presenting evidence to prove that they have witnessed something. That's where they have them in court, right? There's a witness here that saw everything, heard everything. Come on. If you've been with Jesus, you'll have a witness. I can tell you that he's real. I can tell you what he's done in my life. I know that he can heal. I know that he can save. I know that he can deliver. I can bear witness to that because it's real. Amen? It's not theory. He is a living God. He's all powerful. He can do it. Look what he's done in our lives so far. First John 5:10 says, he who believes in the Son of God has the what? Witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given us of his Son. And so we know in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Is there a requirement for the power of God? Because without Jesus, amen, without his ability, we're just left to our own ability. Amen. And we are limited in our own ability. You know, we really can't. A doctor doesn't heal anybody. Amen. He can diagnose. And most of them are just chemists. They just give you drugs. But God is the healer. And I'm not against doctors. I'm just saying that God is the one ultimately that brings healing. Are you hearing me? And so we need to start believing. Amen. Instead of quickly running off before we've even inquired about it with the Lord to see a specialist or see a psychiatrist or a psychologist or whatever doctor, we should first and foremost seek the Lord above everything else and wait on the Lord. Come on. And some things you just need to contend for. You need to press in. You need to be like that woman with the issue of blood that was willing to put her life on the line, amen, in that society, to claw her way through a crowd. If she could but touch the hem of his garment, she knew she would be healed. And Jesus was being thronged by all these people. And all of a sudden he stops and says, who's touched me? Her faith, amen. He said, I sense what virtue going out, the power of God went out and touched her because of her faith. To believe that she could be healed if she could but touch Jesus. Are you hearing me today?
Amen.
You got to touch the Lord.
Amen.
Believe and you will see the glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Only believe, Martha, and you will see the glory of the Lord. God can do all things. We limit him with our own unbelief, but God can do all things. So we pray, Lord, help our unbelief. Stretch me out of the place I was. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God. There is a requirement that the world needs to see the reality of this message and demonstrations. Come on. Demonstrations of power. It's more than just a word. There's substance. There's evidence to this message that we preach. God will always confirm his word. If it's his word, he will confirm it. So when God is prompting us in our faith and our hearts to step out for him, all we got to do is step out for him. And he does the rest. Come on, somebody. And he's not looking for golden vessels, he's looking for yielded vessels, as someone once said. Amen?
Amen.
He's looking for somebody who's going to say, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll be a vessel for you.
Yes.
Amen? How many would agree with me today that we need the power of God?
Amen.
How many would agree with me today that I could use more power in my life?
Amen.
Then yield more.
Amen.
Surrender.
Yes.
Come on. Surrender your life to him. Give it all to him. Start being faithful in whatever he's given you right now to do. If you're faithful in little, he'll make you ruler of much. He's a faithful God. Start stepping out. You run into somebody, amen, they're not feeling well, or maybe they get a pain in their shoulder or something, amen. You may be going through the grocery line and they go, oh, well, there's a signal right there. Say, hey, can I pray for you? There's an opportunity. Jesus wants to heal today. He wants to set captives free today. The Lord wants to save the lost. Amen. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed of the devil. That's what we're supposed to be doing now. Because he said to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, what? I'm sending you. Go in my name now. Represent me. And he said, teach the others to observe everything I taught you. So pass it on generationally down to today. Amen. The same message, the gospel of power, that the kingdom of heaven is among us, that he is with us. Amen. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a four square. They got a hold of that one. But that's true. It's very true. Hallelujah. God is so amazing and so good. Let me just ask you this morning, how many here in this church have received a touch from the Lord? Okay. Okay, put your hands down. How many here have received a healing from the Lord? Is God not good? Is God not moving today among his people? Amen. How many here in this place have received some healing and some deliverance, should I say? Some deliverance. You've been set free from some things, yeah. So you see, that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to restore. Amen. He wants to reconcile broken relationships. He wants to make us whole. Because he's a good father. He came that we might have what? Life more abundantly. He wants to reverse what the enemy has done. He wants to demonstrate that he is good. Amen. And he's good to all who call upon him. So, if you're here this morning and you need healing, just stand up. If you need healing, just stand up. Okay. Probably everybody, right? So, what we're going to do is we're going to practice what we just heard. And we're going to believe God. Now, when you pray, Jesus said, believe in your heart that you receive it. And you'll have it, okay? So believe that you receive it. And often I just say, thank you, Lord, I receive it. Thank you, Lord, I believe. Amen? And so I want to ask those who are around, those who are standing, okay, to take authority over the sickness, the disease, whatever it might be that's plaguing them, and believe God right now. Amen? That today is the day of healing. All right. Are you ready to do this?
Okay.
Fire! She's just a tanker. We declare deliverance today to the captives. Come on. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you, for he has anointed you to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound today in Jesus' name.